Good to be with you this morning.
It's a nice, beautiful morning now. I know at our house we had a little shower around 7 o'clock or so, and it just sort of washes everything and makes everything a little cleaner and just nicer. And it's just a beautiful day to be with you this morning.
This morning, our lesson title may surprise you a little bit. It's Disappointed in Jesus. And you know, this time of year, with everybody talking about Jesus and the baby Jesus here and there, you might be surprised. Why would we have a title of a sermon, Disappointed in Jesus? Well, for the last few months, we've been studying through the gospel and the writings of the Apostle John. And then in chapter 10, we get to a number of people who were disappointed in Jesus. And so I thought it'd be good to take a look at that this time of year. Because this time of year, you have a lot of people talk about Jesus. In fact, if you do surveys, you find about 80-85% of Americans believe in Jesus in some way or another. That's almost 4 out of every 5 people. But if you look at our lives of Americans in general, you find that maybe they don't really believe in Jesus like Jesus talks about believing in Him. And so let's look a little bit this morning at our scripture text and what it means to be disappointed in Jesus. You may have heard someone say, I'm mad at God. Maybe something happened in their life that they didn't think was fair, or they didn't think was the way it should be. And so they say, I'm mad at God. We had in our Wednesday night class about 2 weeks ago, we talked about that, about being mad at God and how inconsistent that is sometimes in people's lives, that they can say they believe in God and at the same time not want to follow Him. We'll look at today a number of people that have sort of a notion of Christ, what Christ means to them. And if Christ doesn't meet that little notion, then they want to reject Christ. And we'll take a look at what it means to really follow after the Lord. There was a mathematician that lived many years ago, Pascal. You may have heard of him. They named one of the computer languages after him. But he made a statement, and he said, if you take a look at believing in God, it's roughly a 50-50 proposition. I mean, that there's a lot of evidence for, but there's evidence against. You can never really prove existence of God. But if you look at the outcome, if you believe in God, then you believe in eternal life. If you don't believe in God and take the path without God, then that only leads to death with this world. So what if you're wrong and you pick the choice that goes to death, but there really was a God? Look at what you've lost. Why doesn't everybody choose God? And that's really what we are. So many people are sort of disappointed and they don't choose God. Look at what Jesus says. This is in the ESV because it has a little different from the NIV. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Why do so many people go on the way to destruction? Because it's easy. That's the easy road to take. And so many of us fall into that path. Jesus says the way that leads to life, that's hard. You remember what Jesus says? The work of God is to believe in the one He sent. In other words, it takes work to believe in Jesus. It takes work to find the narrow way. The easy way leads to destruction, at least to death. Throughout the Gospel of John, John gives a number of contrasts, but one he gives over and over again is this idea of life or death. But you have to choose. You can choose Jesus and have life, or you can take the road that leads to destruction or death. And that's what we'll be talking about as we get to the chapter 10 of John. But first I'd like to speak of a few other people that believed in Jesus but were, quote, offended by Him. And the first is John the Baptist. Remember the story of John the Baptist when he's in prison? This is close to the end of John's life. And close to the end of John's life, John sent some of his apostles to Jesus. And they said when John heard in prison that Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask Him, are You the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf healed, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of Me. Blessed is the man
who's not offended in me. Why was John offended by Christ? Well, consider, John was in prison. John was in prison because he had spoke out against Herod. And because he spoke out about Herod and those that, the rulers of that day, they had put him in prison to silence him. And so here was Jesus. As soon as things got a little bit hot around Jerusalem, he goes up to Galilee and he spends most of his time in Galilee, right around the Sea of Galilee, preaching and staying away from Jerusalem. Of course, he'll come back to Jerusalem eventually. So John's saying to Jesus, Jesus, are you really doing what God wants you to do? Or are you just, like I am, preparing the way for somebody that's really going to come and do it? John had his idea of what Jesus should be doing, but Jesus wasn't doing that. And what was Jesus doing? Well, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, what am I doing? I'm looking after those who are the blind, the poor, the outcast, those that have been sort of cast off from everybody else. That's who I'm serving. But I'm doing it because this is God's will. This is what fulfilling of Scripture. It may not meet what you thought I was going to do, but this is who I am, John. I came to serve, not to be served. And I came to give my life. Look over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, this is a passage we actually studied about 2 or 3 weeks ago. In John chapter 6, Jesus has performed some of his greatest miracles he's ever, I can think of. He feeds 5,000 people with just a handful of food. Now, I don't know, I mean, of all the miracles to me, there's always one that stood out. John chapter 6 also had Jesus walking on the water. And then in the end of the chapter, Jesus goes back to Capernaum and he does a great sermon, which we sometimes call the Bread of Life sermon, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he ends that sermon, which says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. You must abide in me if you want life. Well, that's a little hard to take if you think about it. What Jesus is, of course, saying, it's not enough just to say you believe in me. You must become me. You must live as I live. You must abide in me. You must do the same things I'm doing. You must become like me if you're going to be my disciple. Now, when he started this section off, he says, I came down from my Father and do only the things that my Father tells me to do. And those two ideas were a little hard for them to take. He says, I came down from my Father. In other words, I'm divine, is what Jesus is saying. He said, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. And that was not easy for them to take. And listen to what they say to Jesus, his own disciples. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This was not an easy thing to take. You think about what Jesus is telling them. We talked about in our Bible class this morning. Being a Christian doesn't mean we just go along our way and just add a little bit of Christianity to make ourselves a little bit better. That's not what being a Christian is. A Christian is forsaking this world and living for Christ, becoming like Him. And that's not something we always want to hear. It means being in submission to Him as Jesus was in submission to the Father. And that's not something we always want to hear. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? You see, Christianity is a lot more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's becoming like Christ. And his own disciple says, no, that's a little hard to take, Jesus. This is a hard teaching. And Jesus goes on to say, aware the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you would see the man ascend to where he was before? See, Jesus says, I came down from heaven. Now he says, well, does that offend you? What if you see me go back to heaven? He goes on. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And here comes to the part that we often fail to see. Jesus came that we could have life, and he says this comes through the Spirit. So often we want the physical things of this world, and we look on those. And Jesus wants to move us away from the physical to that which is lasting. And that comes from the Spirit. So often we're disappointed in Jesus, because we pray for the physical things, like maybe sickness or our jobs or the other physical things that are on our minds day to day. Jesus wants to move us away from those to those things that bring real life, the spiritual, the things that don't pass away. He goes on, yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and would betray him. And he went on to say, this is why I told you
that no one can come to me unless the Father enabled him. And that is believing the message of Christ that comes from the Father. So his own disciples at this time, it says many of them, his own disciples at this time turned away from him, chose not to follow him, chose to follow maybe what we call the easy way instead of the hard way that Jesus says. These teachings are hard, is what his own disciples said of him. They didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to do the things that Jesus brought them to do. Now turn with me over to chapter 10 of John. And this is, we'll conclude that this section we've been studying for the last number of weeks on the Gospel of John. But they, remember the beginning of chapter 10, we're going to go back and look at that a little bit this week and even next week. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And we have the idea of him caring for us. But in the end of this chapter, notice what they do. It's really an amazing thing. In chapter 10, beginning in verse 31, it says, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus asked him, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you want to stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, they said, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Now that's an amazing thing if you look at what they're saying. They're going to stone Jesus because they don't like what he said, that I came down from heaven, that making himself God. And Jesus asked him, I've done a lot of good works, a lot of good miracles. Which of these miracles are you going to stone me for? And notice they don't say, we don't believe in the miracles. They've seen these miracles. They knew them. They knew what Jesus had done. Look at the end of chapter 9. All of chapter 9 is one of Jesus' great miracles. He heals a man that was born blind. And now this man is much older, a full-grown man, and he's been blind all his life, and Jesus heals him. And so the leaders call him in and they question the guy, trying to get him to around what's happened. And the very end of it, look at verse 30 of chapter 9. The man answered, now, this is remarkable. They're saying that they don't know who Jesus is. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly men who do his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. This man shows the evidences are very plain. This man has to be from God to do what he's done. And that's what Jesus says. Look at the miracles I've done. Which of these miracles are you going to stone me for? But what are they saying? Jesus, you don't meet the image we want. So we're offended in you and we're going to cast you out. Too often, we have this image of Christ. And if Christ doesn't meet this little image that we've created for him, then we don't want anything to do with it. We're sort of like they are. We may not want to stone Jesus, we just want to leave. And we don't want to submit to him. But listen to what Jesus says to his own disciples, to these. Jesus replied, it is written in your law, I have said to you, O gods. If he called them gods to whom God, the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own, set into the world? That's Jesus here talking about himself, the one that God sent into the world. Because Jesus said the work of God is what? To believe in the one that he sent. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, the works I've done, that you may understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Now look at what Jesus says to him. He quotes from Psalms 82. That's not a psalm we often quote from, but look at the Psalm 82. And listen to what the psalmist says. It's actually Jesus hits them with two ideas from this psalm. And I want you to take a look at those with me. The psalmist starts out saying, God presides over the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I have said, you are gods. You are sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like other rulers. Now this starts off saying God presides over the great assembly. The great assembly here is those who judge over Israel. And so the ones that the psalmist is calling, that God calls gods, they're the judges of Israel. You know, we do the same thing with judges. Now we call judges Your Honor, and we give great honor to the judges. Well, that's what they did in Israel, and God's saying that the judges of you should be honored. You should honor your judges. And Jesus uses this as if God honored judges of Israel and called them gods. Shouldn't He honor the one that He sent? In other words, Himself. That was the point Christ made from this. But notice also what the psalmist says about these people. He condemns them because what? They don't judge correctly. They don't use the evidences that God gave them. And he says, you live in darkness. And notice who it is that they show partiality to. It's the same people that Jesus says, I came to minister to. You remember when John asked Jesus what you're doing here? And Jesus says, I'm healing the sick. I'm teaching the poor. I'm healing the blind. All those who've been cast out. Who are the judges of Israel showing partiality to? The poor. The downtrodden. Those that Jesus came to serve. Jesus uses this psalm in two different ways. He first uses it, God honored judges on Israel. Why shouldn't He honor me in the same way? So I'm not doing anything that God didn't do. But then He goes on down to show them, you're showing bad judgment. You're not judging as you should. And He says, you're living in darkness. Jesus calls us to think about what we're about. To think about the evidences. Not necessarily the way that we think it should be, but the way that He calls us to be. And that's where we sometimes fell down, just as they did. And we don't judge correctly. In the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus brings out the idea of being the good shepherd. Look over again at the beginning of chapter 10. In verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about the good shepherd that Christ calls us to believe in. Not necessarily the way that we want him to be, but the way that he calls us to be. In the very beginning, we started off, do we seek the easy road or do we seek the hard road? It's easy these days to seek the easy road. Most of us have much. And we don't have to think about things like perhaps at the time of Christ. And so it's easy just to go along and go with the easy road. But Jesus calls us to do more. He calls us to go to that hard road, to work at our salvation, to work at believing in Him. He calls us to eat His flesh and to drink His blood to become like Him. And that's not always the easy thing that we want to do. Look with me what it means to be called by the Good Shepherd. Jesus calls us, and He offers three things as the Good Shepherd. I want to look at these this week and even next week as we celebrate Christ. The first thing Jesus calls us to is security. One of the principal things that all of us need in our lives is that idea of security. We need to feel secure. Look at the beginning of chapter 10 when Jesus talks about the Good Shepherd. He says, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them. That's a very special comment right there. Jesus knows us. We're known by Him. He says even the hairs on our head are numbered before the Father. He knows each one of us by name. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You want security? Have God on your side. Paul in Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He gave us His own Son. Is He not going to give us all things? Here Jesus says much the same thing. He says, you want to feel secure? Then have God on your side. Who's greater than God? He says you have security when you're one of His sheep. The next part is we have significance. Now He already alluded to that in the first part, where He says, I know my sheep. In Luke chapter 15, one of the things getting older, you don't see as well as you used to. And it's good to have a good shepherd watching over us because our bodies just sort of go down. But as we read in Luke chapter 15, we have one of the short parables. But it's about a shepherd. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and you lose one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." What Jesus is telling us, he says, every one of us is important to him. If he had 100 Christians here and one went astray, he says, that one's important. I know his name. I know his number of hairs on his head. I know everything about him. I want him back. We're all important. We have security. We have significance and purpose when we follow the Good Shepherd. And the last idea, and this is one you hear so much this time of year, we have true peace when we're in the Lord. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This morning, think about your life, which way you're living. Sometimes we get disappointed in Christ because things don't go the way that we think they should. Things happen in our lives and we say, "Well, why did that happen? Was that if God was looking over me, why would this happen?" And he doesn't always give us the answer we want. But he says, "I am the good shepherd. I will take care of you. I will give your life significance. I will give you security. And I will give you my peace." As Paul says, peace that surpasses our understanding comes from the Lord. He is the good shepherd that wants to take care of us. So this morning, at this time of year, think about how we live. Do we truly follow the path of life? Or do we follow the path that leads to destruction? It's easy to go along with this world and just to live each day and that leads to destruction. It takes a little more effort, a little more thought to be one of those that follow the road that leads to eternal life. But that's what the Good Shepherd offers us. And Jesus truly is our Good Shepherd. So this morning, at this time of year, when our mind should be around Christ, think about truly being one of his sheep. And following after him. And becoming like him. Not just coming on a Sunday morning every so often and thinking thoughts of Jesus. But truly putting him into your life. As Jesus says, "Abide in me and you will find life. I came that you could have life and have it abundantly or have it to the full." The real life. Not the life that leads to destruction of this world. But the life that leads to eternal life. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.